Hi, this is Pirate Davy Jones and
Nick.
Tonight we had the opportunity to speak with Mr. Tube and the Flying Objects at the Casbah in San Diego, California. We cornered Paul, Jovi, and Bradley of Mr. Tube and the Flying Objects. We hope you enjoy this.
This is the one where everything is returned. What you got on your mind, I can't help you with no more, no more. I've been waiting, baby, you know I've been waiting, baby, you know I've been waiting for you, sin. I never thought I'd ever meet a woman like you.
Very nice.
Kind of sick, but not too bad. Yeah.
Sick in the head or sick physically?
Sick in the head, physically, fucking asthma, whatever.
Sick. He's a sick ass bitch. Yeah,
right. I have to be playing with you, dude. All right.
Well, to tell us your story, you know, you mentioned a little earlier off the record about your first bands. And what was yours, Paul, to begin with?
My very first band?
Yeah.
The first band I ever played with or sang for was called Dark Sarcasm. We put a record out on Vinyl Communications, and that's about the time I met Jovi. Was probably about 15...
20 almost years ago.
15 or 20 years ago I met Jovi.
Yeah, and
I remember the first time we met. I don't.
I don't, me either. I think it was like actually... at the through the RC skateboarding thing, I think you were skating back then. There was like a ditch or something, and we all kind of met there. But then later on, as we started going to shows, we kind of got to know each other, you know, more through like the whole Amenity and Dark Sarcasm and gigs and stuff.
Soul Side,
yeah, in the garage. And my first band was called Milestone, and that was. Probably about the same time, maybe a little bit after Dark Sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was with
when I started me and Thrill Pilot.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah, probably about that time, yeah. And that was with, Milo from the Descendants was our singer, and that was a pretty interesting little band. And evolved, you know, went through some different phases. And that was my first band.
And me and Jovi always talked about doing a band together.
Yeah, different points.
We were like, hung out. We always hung out, drank beer, smoked weed, whatever, hung out together. Conversated. And so, then eventually we said, hey, you know, we should try jamming together sometime. Yeah. Seriously, like 5 years goes by. Longer. 10 years.
Yeah, probably.
But then before we really talked about it, like a good 5 years went by. And then we finally did it.
Yeah.
And is Mr. Tube it? Is this the first time you guys have played together?
I started Mr. Tube as like a solo project for Paul Jenkins or whatever, Paolo Zoppoli. And then as I started evolving into recording and making records, I started inviting different people to record, and Jovi started playing the bass on like 3/4 of the record. That I did, the first record, Listen Up with Mr. Tube, and Jovi played bass on most of that record. And then for the live show, I kind of gathered different people, but Jovi was there pretty much from the, not the get-go, but almost the get-go.
Yeah, after the get-go.
3/4 of the
way. I started
the concept and brought Jovi in. I was like, hey, this might be an opportunity for us to play together. Let's record some shit, basically, and he laid down some bass tracks.
Yeah.
Well, since you mentioned the live show, I counted, and was I right when I counted 10 people up on stage tonight?
I think it was. Tonight was 10.
It was a 10-member band tonight, yes. Yes, it was.
It was pretty, it was like Ozu Motley up there tonight, I tell you, it was awesome. So tell me, when you conceived of this as a solo project, were you planning on doing shows live?
I didn't know, really, actually, to be honest. I was kind of like, in the beginning, our first 8 practices were the most ridiculously stupid sounding shit you would ever imagine. And at some point in there, we figured it out. We figured out what Mr. Tube was. And once we all, like, decided, okay, this is what Mr. Tube is, then we all started doing it good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it originally started off as a recording project, just an idea to record some shit, have some people lay some stuff down. I made the record, and there it was. And then live became a different concept, and I found different people. Well, kind of me and Jovi found different people that would work for the live set.
Yeah, it was like the record came out before the band came out, definitely. Probably like 6 months or something before we got a band together, the record came out. And, you know, once the record came out, we kind of decided, like, we could probably do this, you know? It's feasible. It's just like getting the right people to do it. And that kind of took a while, but came together.
Yeah. That's how we found Brad on the saxophone.
Yeah, let's introduce
the trumpet. Excuse me, not the saxophone.
Yeah, we've been joined by someone else here from the band. Why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Brad Lee. I play trumpet in Mr. Tube.
Right, and the horn section consists of three. Is that pretty much a standard?
Yeah, ideally it's me and Aaron and John Paul. I play trumpet, and then we got two sax players, and definitely sounds the best when we got all three of us there. It's hard sometimes, but yeah. It works out.
And when did you come in with the project?
I think I came in probably for the first, second practice, somewhere in there, once we actually started practicing.
It was in the first quarter of the development, I think. Yeah.
I mean, I came in early enough to where there was still, you know, a lot of stuff to be figured out, and I was really just excited to... I'm a bass player by trade, but I just recently started playing trumpet, and this was a great opportunity. Knew these guys through some other people, and... yeah, I came pretty early.
Danger. Mr. Tube heard an old band he was in called the Forgets, To Forget You.
Yeah.
Forgets. To Forget You was our first hit single in 1964.
Yeah.
But he played trumpet on that.
Crazy, because I was like negative 13 years old at that time.
Wow.
But, you know, I had talent even back then, before conception. I had a lot of skills. So, the Forgets, I mean...
You all talked a bit about your past. In retrospect, if there's one thing that you could change about your childhood, what would it be?
Not playing earlier. Music. Not playing earlier. That's it.
Could have been cool to grow up somewhere else than Southern California. I mean, I did grow up in Italy a bit, but like Africa or some weird shit, but you know, it's something like that. But maybe not to I don't know. I didn't like hosing off the patio as a kid. I had to hose off the patio. My dad would make me sweep the patio and then hose it off with the hose after. I always thought that was retarded. The second step was just too much. That's it.
I would have liked to spend more time with Paul's hose, personally. I mean, it's a pretty nice hose. No, I don't know. I mean, you know, it took me a while, personally, to become comfortable with, like, being a musician and being weird and doing something that my friends aren't doing. So I kind of wish I had started playing in bands earlier. And, you know, I dropped out of school, so maybe I just should have dropped out of school early and started going on tour. So if any of you kids are in there and you want to go on tour... Drop out now and start, because you learn a lot of lessons that it's better to learn young than old.
Could you all tell me a little bit about Long Night review?
We will play it.
Okay. Why not? I want to play it, but nobody else in the band wants to.
Yeah.
Is that one of our songs?
Yeah.
That's on the record.
Yeah, that's.
Is that what? Why do you ask about that one in particular?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Wow.
You had to talk to this guy about...
I tried to get the band to play it, but they wouldn't do it.
Solely playing tracks off the album, or have you come up with new ones?
No, we have new songs ready to go for a new record. We're kind of slowly working on a new record. We have like 4 ideas or something for a new record.
We play 2 tonight.
And you know, some of the songs, basically going back to what you last said about Long Night Review, some of the songs were like easier to play live because they're more fun, and we wanted the live experience of Mr. Tube to be a good, positive, energetic experience. We didn't want to keep people down. So we've tried to do some songs that are emotional and you know, deeper than maybe certain other songs, but some songs are better recorded than played live. And I think, you know, Mr. Tube has the ability and potential to be deeper than maybe what we perform live, but performing live is a release, and so I like to think of it as like, this is what we're releasing and this is what we're doing. But we've played In the Arms of Demons, which is a slow song, and Long Night Review we've practiced, and we've played those songs, but we just feel like when we go to play live, Mr. Tube is like a element and a feeling and something that comes over, and like suddenly to throw certain songs in, it kind of cuts the set short or throws something weird in there. So we're trying to sneak them in there in the right way and learn still a little bit more of how we can do that.
Do you all find San Diego to be conducive in creating or developing your music? I mean, would there be another place that you would prefer to do that in?
I personally moved here because of all the bands, and I think the kind of the interbreeding and the, like the kind of incestuousness of San Diego scene is really great as far as creativity, because it's just so many different people come together in so many different ways. And you know, we might not have all the biggest bands, like, you know, top 40 or anything, but there's no lack for creativity at all, and I definitely appreciate that, just getting to work with different people.
Yeah, it's a pretty fruitful environment, I think, as far as creativity is concerned. You got bands like Kill Me Tomorrow, and then you got bands like, you know, Rafter. And the variety is pretty extensive. And over the years, I've seen, you know, some great things come out of here, you know, from Crash Worship to you know, Hot Snakes to, shit, man. Lot.
You know? I got San Diego's like a good thrift store.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you go there and you're like, hey, fucking look what I found. Yeah. But the problem with San Diego is you go home and you're like, oh, look what I found. You go home and you're like, oh, I'm going to put the batteries in it and see if it works now. And it fucking don't work. It fucking never, none of this shit. That's what I got to say about my band members. They fucking shit up. That comes straight from the top from Mr. Two.
Oh, man.
You see, we talk a lot of shit here.
That's why we don't do Long Night Review.
All right, I'm joking. I'm teasing. You know, it is. San Diego's like a good thrift store that you walk into, and you're like, ah, look at all this good shit. If you just look around long enough, you find the people that are into what you're into.
If you could be guaranteed one thing in life besides money, what would that be?
What would you ask for?
Everlasting life and love. Everlasting life and love.
I know.
I don't know. Not to get an ass explosion when I eat my mom's brownies. My mom makes kick-ass brownies, but I can't eat them. Otherwise, I shit my pants for like 2 days. I would like to like eat them and not shit for 2 days.
I don't know, man. I feel pretty lucky. You can always want more, but I got my health and I get to play in cool bands. So why even worry about what you don't have, you know?
If not music, what would you like to do? What would you like to wake up and do someday if it's not music? Or is that an option?
Fuck. Wake up and fuck.
I'd like to work at a golf course. Oh, in any manner. But I don't want to make people sandwiches, but I'd like to collect the balls. And I would like to work, or if not that, if I can't work at a golf course, maybe I'd prefer to work at a lake. I used to, and I'd like to do it again.
Could any one of you tell me about trying so hard that your balls burst into a million pieces?
That was a direct quote from tonight, I believe, right, Davey?
That's right.
You're reminding me that I actually said that this evening. I guess trying is a song that I think of about when you try to do something, whatever it is that you do. And it's about that feeling of trying so hard to make something work, and maybe it doesn't, or maybe it does.
I thought of it tonight as a, you know, as a positive response to the event we're playing for tonight. Kind of like, you know, in the sense of Jacob Faust's mom trying to, you know, bring some attention to what's going on. You know, yeah. Like Marvin Gaye did. What's going on?
Exactly.
A hell of a lot.
See, I beat around the bush a lot. Jovi gets to the point. I beat around the bush.
You're better at beating around the bush.
You're better at getting around the bush.
And for those that weren't here tonight, it was a benefit concert, yes. Correct?
Yes, exactly. For Jacob Faust, who was gunned down by the San Diego PD in front of, I think, Hotel San Diego about 2 years ago. And, you know, the cops got their story, but, you know, all I know is that the guy didn't have a gun and he got shot dead. So it sounds like a bunch of bullshit to me.
It's hard, you know, like none of us were there, but we've all heard the same stuff. The kid didn't have a gun and he got killed. And, you know, cops, there's been a lot of allegations and a lot of, you know, people saying different stuff, but it just sucks, man. It's hard, you know, it's hard to put into words, you know.
Besides the murder of Jacob, if there's one thing in this world that you can change, or at least even some historical event that happened and you could have prevented it, what would it be?
The birth of Paul.
That's funny. Let me think about a comeback for that. Let's see.
Man, are you serious? That's like...
No, I'm just clowning.
No, I'm saying like how, what
it's a
would
deep it? Question. I know. You're deep on us. We're having fun tonight. I'm like, five Inker steams down, bro.
Oh, shit, man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to even say that. I mean, George Bush is an easy answer, you know? Mm-hmm. Get in the Iraq War, prevent that shit or something, or Vietnam or any... Hey, okay, Jesus, prevent the birth of Jesus. How many lives would that have saved?
Jesus was Chinese. I wish Jesus was Chinese. Yakuza Cholo Mafia Vato.
You have a song on the album about Jesus, right?
Yeah, Jesus was a Vato.
And where did that come from?
Yeah, what inspired that?
I think lyrically the idea of that song is that there's all these gangs and all this shit and blah, blah, blah. But Jesus is kind of king of the vatos, is kind of the idea. King of the gangs, you know? Like, I don't know, it's kind of a spoof. It's a joke. It's really, that's a joke idea. It's like Yakuza Cholo, Mafia Vato. Yakuza is like Japanese gangs. Cholos are, you know, American, Spanish gangs. And it's just a joke on the whole thing of like, well, Jesus is king of the vatos, you know?
I think of it like as growing up in Chula Vista, I just remember seeing the graffiti on the walls, Jesus was here. And it's like in the, you know, down in the barrio, and you'd be like, whoa, Jesus was here, man. You know, as a kid, I didn't relate. Jesus was here. Oh, that's what it is, you know. But, you know, that's what I think of it as, you know, kind of like a play on words.
In a similar way, Jesus was king of the vatos. I kind of think of it as like, just that whole concept of growing up in that way and like, you know, being jumped by vatos in Chula Vista. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't get jumped too many times.
No, but me and Brett Barmettler and Erica.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that?
I wasn't there for that. Oh.
I thought you heard about that.
I was probably on it.
Kicking your ass, dude. Every shot of Paul's.
But in Chula Vista, where me and Jovi grew up, there was a lot of vatos and a lot of people from Chula Vista. And when you're from Chula Vista and you're a vato, I mean, that's like prime space for vatos is in Chula Vista.
It's a part of the
San Ysidro, National City, Chula Vista. I mean, it doesn't get any more real for vatos than that area.
Exactly.
I mean, because vatos is more American Hispanic gangs than it is Mexican gangs. It's, I mean, I don't know. I've never been a part of it, but I've been fucked with enough. So it's kind of a joke about the whole thing, you know, about gangs and about violence and about the whole thing. And it's like making a joke about Jesus being the king of the vatos, you know, and all this shit and him being violent and making a joke about the whole thing.
Of all the songs on the album, which one is translated best live for you?
Brothers.
Brothers in a Bind is fine.
Yeah. I like Mexican Remix. I think it comes across, I like the way it's come across.
Did you like my intro tonight?
No, tonight was good. Yeah, yeah.
Introduce the band before we play.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. That was kind of interesting, yeah.
I think Brothers in a Bind is a good one because Jovi came up with a really good verse in that song.
That's
big time information
we,
regarding situation
that we collaborated
brings
on
confrontation,
you know, actually
on the
like
people that are hating
fully collaborated on, like, you know, basically you know, I threw that on the bass line and then he had some vocals and I threw some vocals in. I think that's probably the most 50-50.
Big time information regarding situation brings on confrontation on the people that are hating on the vibe we're creating. It really gets frustrating cause you know we're not playing, saying yo, brothers in a bind.
Jovi's a really good lyricist and he should do it more on more of our songs. He wrote a really good verse and that song translates really heavily live. I think it's a fun song, Brothers in a Bind. I dig that song live.
Message songs.
As a general rule, we ask all the musicians, artists, or activists that we deal with to do the best pirate impression are able to do that.
Arr! I wear Argyle socks. Yo, what up, dude? Yo, this is the Vato Pirate, bitch.
Well, we appreciate you guys being on. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for
all
having
right, thank
us.
You.
We appreciate
thank
your you. Time.
Pirate Radio.
Yes, rocking on.